You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Well, it is an interesting Thursday, to say the least. Being a Thursday, of course, we are at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive over in Metairie. You might need a P-Row to get over here. John 4K joining us today here on location as well. John, and I say that because literally it is absolutely pouring everywhere, so please be safe. Doesn't mean the wings, the wraps, the happy hour, all that is gone by the wayside. And more importantly, the steak special, which you asked about when we got here. $12 gets you an 8-ounce sirloin, a 2-pound baked potato, and also a side salad. What I gather are tasty. So
that, as long as it's tasty. Look, if you get a good steak somewhere, talk about steaks. I just came back from Vegas, and I Googled cheap prime rib. Well, I'll tell you this much. The place we went to, it wasn't a cheap prime rib. It wasn't that expensive either.
Right.
But I'm saying it was as good as me going to some Ruth Chris or something, Del Frisco's or something. It was awesome. So, people, y'all can come out. Look, I don't think it's going to be raining tonight. I'm hoping not to, because it started all day. It's probably whipping through here. But come on down here and get yourself a steak. You can't beat the price. If you're going to get a steak, potato, and a salad and a drink for, under $20, you can't fight that at all.
No doubt about it. Got plenty to get into, John, and I think some interesting topics here as well, and that have to deal with the Pelicans, with the Saints, the draft getting closer, of course. Hard to believe, John, as we're getting everything together, dotting the I's and crossing the T's, looking forward to our draft show coming up. It's going to be interesting. I get the Saints only have one pick in the second round, none in the first, none in the third, none in the fourth. Doesn't mean that that second round pick isn't important. It's probably even more that you got to do. So many different directions you can go. So I'm going to ask you about the offseason so far with all the picks that they've had. But I think a topic that we're going to have fun with today, it's something that happened yesterday at the end of the Pelicans game, and it had to do with Anthony Davis. And John, AD exiting the court, gave the finger to someone. It was recorded on a video phone. Of course, it's now everywhere. Everyone's talking about it. AD afterwards explained it on an Instagram text message back and forth that the fan threw out a verbal insult to him and quote-unquote disrespected him. We're going to talk a little bit about that here as well. What's okay, what's not okay, fan-based behavior, and is it really based on how you're feeling and where you're at? And what I mean by that is, I'm seeing a lot of people that cover the team, a lot of fans, and it's different reaction, right? People that cover teams say, hey, look, just because you make money, just because you have star status and you make millions doesn't mean you shouldn't be insulted and be put to verbal abuse and things of that nature. Fans, for the most part, again, I'm paraphrasing, but a lot of the reaction, John, is, well, you're the star, you left us, we're entitled to boo you and things of that nature. I think there's always a line. There's no doubt about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Slurs.
Yep.
Of any kind. I think it's a simple rule of thumb. If you feel uncomfortable probably saying it normally, it's probably something you shouldn't say.
Right.
And I understand it from this perspective. So 800-998-1003, we can talk a little about this. Yes, AD is the center of the topic, but I think it's to a broader place. Russell Westbrook a couple of weeks ago, right, got into a confrontation in Utah. That fan's been banned from the arena, saying different things, and Russell came out against it a lot afterwards, saying, he took it as a racial,
racial tone.
Right, exactly. Right. And a lot of the players backed it up, and they've done things from that standpoint. The owner came out on the next home game and said, this is not what we're about. We're going to do those things. Whether it's right or wrong, status brings about certain things, right?
Well, you remember the Rams game, Peterson on the sideline?
Right.
He got into it with a fan in the stand and had a security guy. Yeah, he didn't budge. Peterson almost walked through the stands, and, they got a little
Leonard
verbal competition.
Leonard Fournette
got into it. And look, my take is, just being a former player, I've had things said to you. And look, that's expected. Mm-hmm. Good, bad, or indifference. I mean, if you're playing great, they're not saying a word. You're playing bad, the fans get frustrated, which I understand. But when you get to a certain extent, you know, you can call a guy, you know, you're a bum, you're not very good. But when you use a vulgar language, that's differently. Now you're surrounding yourself with other people around you and you're saying things. And a player, I understand, you gotta keep calm and cool, but this has been balling up for a long time with AD. He hadn't really did anything to fan thing, and look, he should have left without doing that. Now look, a lot of times players can go back and forth verbally. I understand that, you know, without using the vulgar language.
Right.
But when you shoot the finger, we all know what the finger means.
Well, and here's the thing. You again, know? It's a finger, and I saw some fans say, hey, he's lucky that the fan just got the finger and not hands and
right.
all of this. I kind of want to expand on it from this perspective. Again, 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. Because, and the reason I brought up status is because of this. Correctly or incorrectly, right? Mm-hmm. When you make money and you have a certain status, you are viewed a certain way, you are judged a certain way, people expect things from you in a certain way, right? Solomon Hill. Hey, bleep you, Solomon. That video doesn't make anywhere.
Right.
Hey, bleep you, AD, which is apparently what happened, and the middle finger towards him. Cell phones are rolling, seeing what kind of reaction that is that gets posted, right?
Right.
Different
well,
status, different player.
You know, and I hate to say it like this, but the part of news nowadays is they're not selling something good to the media, to the mm-hmm. press. They want to make sure they get the bad stuff. So you can edit stuff, cut out stuff, and make one guy look really good, one guy look really bad.
Right.
But if you keep it in contents of well, you saw the whole thing play out, that's –
And,
play it
and,
out.
And, if, and to your point, when you see AD, he looks left, he gives the finger, and then right after that, he high-fives the kids. And after that, he's like, look, I'm not disrespecting the city. I'm that guy disrespected me.
But who's he giving? You don't know who he's giving a finger to.
Right.
You might be yapping at a guy's face. He walks by, gives a finger, and you got 30 people sitting around you.
It's one of those things that when you initially see it and you go, man, you got to know better. I mean,
right.
And again, that's not too excuse. We're going to talk about that on this show. We're going to talk about the behavior. We're going to talk about what's acceptable and what's not and how you view it. Specifically on this, you know, is it a big deal? Is it not? Look, when it comes down to it from this perspective, I'm talking about just AD in general. You can look at it from both sides in this area. AD says he felt disrespected. Fans probably feel disrespected by the fact that the season got thrown into chaos because you want to go out. Fans feel disrespected because, hey, they're the ones that bought $100 jerseys with the name of you on the back of it, feeling and supporting you and all of a sudden. So I get it. Look, it's illogical, I think, for Anthony Davis to expect that no one's upset.
Right. Yeah.
Now, again, that doesn't give you the right to call him the N-word, to flip him off. I'm just saying, I'm talking just basic psychology. There's going to be fans that are upset.
Mm-hmm.
They've invested in you. They've invested in the team. They have feelings. I get that, right? So that's probably where it comes from because in reading a lot of responses from people that cover the team, they've said in the last couple of weeks, people have been thrown out of the arena yelling at things at Anthony Davis, okay? So I get that from that perspective. To the broader topic that I want to get into as well, John, is the disrespect. You hear that a ton. The word I'm disrespected or the phrase I'm disrespected, I was thinking about this morning, applies in so many different ways, right? We've heard athletes say, I'm disrespected in reference to playtime. I feel disrespected by a contract offer. I feel disrespected by a player yelling something at you on the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel disrespected by the way a fan or somebody tweets or a media member writes something. It's different levels. It's not a clear definition of what disrespect is.
Right.
Right? A $30 million offer to you, you feel disrespected, right? I mean,
you know,
I'm just saying, because you feel you're worth 50. But that's what I'm getting at. So it's a different thing. So when AD says he feels disrespected to me and you and others, it may be different levels, right? Mm-hmm. To him being said, bleep you, AD, with the middle finger is disrespect. I look at it like, man, if that's what sets you off and ticks you off.
I'm going with you on this.
You know what I'm saying?
You need to be going something else in life.
Well, and again,
if you're going to use the word I'm disrespected for every little, like the contract,
that's the way I play,
or the way I know playing time, that word is thrown around, you know, too easily,
no,
like,
that's
you know, throwing
what
the word
right.
love. My thing is this. It comes with the territory. AD had no issues going into all of a sudden until he pulled his stunt, what he pulled months ago about, I'm not coming back. This, what are you to expect of, you know, fans? Okay, look, as long as a fan is in the stand and you don't use, you know, the vulgar type situation, and I understand walking off the court, the field, or whatever, you know, you're coming off of the diamond. When somebody said something to you, at you, depending on, you know, depending on what they're telling you, you've got to find some way to control that, because the fact is the media don't care about that fan. They care about what your reaction is.
Right.
If the fan can get on your skin, and under the circumstances, say it was, just say AD was coming back and he's been playing bad lately.
Right.
And he walks off the court and someone gets in his face or someone verbally abused him from the stands. I don't see him doing a middle finger part, because he knows I'm here, it's part of the game. But just because he's leaving, fans now decided that, you know, they're up in their ante, by, you know, instead of booing you, throwing in some words.
And look, like I said, I think in, there's no doubt AD's heard worse from opposing fans.
Yeah.
Much less, I'm talking about, this is before the season, you know, when he played at Kentucky, probably heard worse than, and has heard before, bleep you.
Right.
And the word starts with F.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Again, it's the context of everything. He knows people aren't happy, and he knows. And look, for whatever set them off and that made him feel disrespected, all I'm saying is I understand it, but I'm also looking at the phrase disrespected. You know, I mean, look, he lost his cool, and I wouldn't even say he lost his cool, because after that, he's high-fiving
right.
the kids. It bothered him. In today's day and age, John, it's different than when you played and everybody else, because you don't have social media. He's
right.
probably seeing everyday people ripping him. He's probably seeing First Take and everybody else saying, you know, he's not that good. And I think it's all built up to that, which is why even you have agreed that guy should just went home, and he
right.
has no business being in the arena, and he has no business being there. I'm not talking about the behavior towards
depend,
him. I'm just saying in general.
This is what's coming out is this. If AD would have gotten a verbal words back and forth to him, just, you know, nothing vulgarity, but nobody would have said
right.
a word. That's two guys. But when he shoots the finger,
instead
of him saying the FU or whatever, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean when you have to know. That's going to be on First Take today.
Right.
It's going to be on Around the Horn today. It was on all the different, you know, First Speaking Heard or whatever it is on Fox Sports. I mean, that's what it is, right? They're going to show him with the finger, blurring the middle finger, and then it's going to be a thing. It's one of those things where you just have to sort of know in this day and age, everyone has a camera. It's not just Channel 6,
right.
8, and 26
yeah.
now. Everyone has a phone, and within seconds, it goes to Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It goes viral, and all of a sudden, there's AD not giving a bleep about the city and the fans, because guess what? The video does stop for a lot of places that I saw at the end of the finger with the scowl. They don't show him high-fiving the kids going into the locker room. So, it's again, it goes to context and all that. But at the end of the day, AD, that can't make you feel disrespected.
Okay.
I mean, that's how I feel about it. It's like, dude, if that's what's disrespectful, you have to also understand there's going to be some people that are upset
right.
about it. If anything, you know how you really mess somebody over? You smile at them.
Yes. Yeah, you just ignore them. And another fact is, someone sitting in Iowa last mm-hmm. night
yeah.
watching television, all of a sudden they see AD come across and they said, okay, sports guys, hey, I want to show you something happening in the Pelican game. And all the person Iowa doing sitting at the house is watching him give the finger, right? He's probably, Iowa guys probably saying, wow, he just shot the bird to the people in New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's
exactly
my last
right.
game,
exactly
I'm leaving.
Right. Exactly
this,
right.
you know, but then as the story comes out,
right.
they say, well, he got in a verbal competition with a guy and he shot him the bird.
Yeah.
But as you sitting in Iowa, Utah, watching it, saying, wait a second, he just flipped off the city of New Orleans.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and I understand it, and look, this is a correct argument that people are making. Hey, well, he flipped him off first. I get it. What do we complain about the president right now and all these people that are trying to run on the other side of the aisle for the presidency in 2020? What's the big topic right now with Biden? And people should be held accountable differently when they want to hide. And that's why I brought up the word status. Correctly or not, when you are a third stringer, a role player, a bench player, you're viewed differently. You
Correct.
Just are. When you are a starter, you're held to a little different accountability. when you are a franchise player, when you make top money, when you are considered and come out and say, I'm the best in the league, every little thing. We joke about it with LeBron all the time.
Correct.
LeBron went to the bathroom today. It's news.
It is.
I mean, it is. I mean, that's reality. And it stinks to the paparazzi, right? In LA. I mean, they follow you everywhere. Why? Because you're popular, because you make money,
and you're
you
a story.
Help.
You're a story. Good, bad, or indifferent.
Exactly right.
They got to write something.
Exactly right.
And people are going to buy it.
Exactly
and read
right.
It.
Look at the Tom Dolan situation with New York, the owner, right?
Right.
That guy went over to him and said, sell the team. And Dolan lost his cool. But at the end of the day, you're the owner of a club. I know it might burn you. Get under the stands and mother bleep him, you know. Punch a security guard, do whatever you want, but you can't do it in public in today's day and age. That's all I'm saying. You know, AD, you can't let that be the I feel disrespected on that, right? The guy gives you the finger, give him a look. You know what else he can do? Point to security. Should you be thrown out for that? You know, I that's what I'm getting at. We're going to talk a little
unless
bit more about that.
Unless they got video of what the fan
but that's
did,
what I'm asking you.
Said,
should the middle finger get you tossed out of a game as a fan? Because I want to talk about this coming up at 12:30 because we've got to go to our first break.
That could get you tossed.
Okay, well, that's what I'm getting at. The conduct rule of behavior, because, and you know this, we talk SEC football all the time during the fall, right? Some of the same people are saying, hey, he deserves it, or the acknowledgement of the action is. LSU is kind of known for having a song that the band plays during a game that says,
right.
Do something to my something,
right?
During basketball games. And it's not, and I'm not just singling out LSU.
No,
I mean, there's a lot of schools in the SEC, but no one, I haven't seen a column or anybody really ripping that, right?
No, they actually have people want them to play the song.
To play it more. Is that different? I mean, you get what I'm getting at?
I mean, know exactly where you're going.
Why is 100,000 people think that's acceptable, right? Why is that acceptable over that rather than, you know, the finger? So, I do want to talk about fan conduct during the show here as well. Coming up next, Andrew Lopez of the TimesPicayuneNOLA.com. He will talk a little bit more about this. And also, we have names. They've named names. The Pelicans have begun interviewing the vacant GM position this morning. It began at 9 a.m. I'll give you those list of names when we come back next on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
It's the spring sales event going on now at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. Come and get a great deal on a Ram today. See all of their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Don't miss Crawdaddy's Boil Off and Music Festival, Saturday, April 13th. They'll be hosting the Crawfish Boil Off Competition, a live and silent auction, a kids' zone, and live entertainment by Nunk Nu and De Wild Mutus, Joey Thomas Band, and Hip Boot Joe. To purchase tickets, to register a team, or for a sponsorship contribution, go to CasaOfLaFouche.org. All proceeds will be dispersed evenly to the ALS Association, Casa of LaFouche, and THS Tiger Band from Valleyland Parent Organization. For more info, contact Casa of LaFouche at 985-446-6600.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injuries.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back to the deluge that is this Thursday afternoon live at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive over in Medway here each and every Thursday. Mr. John Forkay joining us. I like how you color coordinated today. You got the blue ESPN polo with the blue shoes. How you feeling today, man?
I got moments, man. Went to the doctors, right. 2 days in the doctors, trying to check everything out from my trip to Vegas. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this much. When you go travel on an airplane and you go to high altitude, the inflammation gets worse because...
Okay, so that is true because I feel like I do swell. I mean, it could be because I eat on the road, but I feel like I look a little...
Because my right knee swelled up pretty bad, right. And I had a limp the last day. I needed crutches to get back home, but I made it back. I get back, and I spent a day, you know, like, at the house, and next thing you know, I'm back to normal. But look, I have to say this, man. The arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis in my hands is pretty bad. But I mean, this, you know, and this weather doesn't help either. You know, it's raining, damp. It doesn't help.
So what you're saying is you're playing hurt today?
I've been playing hurt for like 30 something years now.
Andrew Lopez, Tuspicune, NOLA.com joins us. Covers the Pelicans. Andrew, hopefully you're staying dry today, my friend.
I'm not doing a very good job of that.
I don't think anybody is.
Yeah, I thought I was gonna. I was like, oh, I could run out real quick. No, don't run out real quick.
You know, it's remarkable. It's called technology. You can pull up the weather app and click radar. It's pretty much red all over the city. It could have told you it was going to rain. I mean, I have puddles in my shoes, man, from setting up earlier.
I even heard that, like, the food delivery Ubers and people like that, they're telling them, nope, we ain't going out there weather either.
We ain't going out there right now. Andrew, we got a ton to get into, man. Look, last night, we'll just start last night and then we'll get into today. Jeff Duncan, your colleague, putting the lists of names. They have named names. Yep. We have the candidates, so I definitely want to get into that. 115-109, Hornets win yesterday. It's perfect, right? Pels played hard. If you went to the game, you saw effort, but you also got the loss. At the end of the game, the AD bird. Look, it is what it is. We were talking about it in the opening statement to start the show. You can look at it both ways. You know, he says he felt disrespected. A lot of people can say, well, look, you disrespected us by leaving. End of the day, I'm looking at the greater picture of fan conduct. It's something that, especially in the NBA, has been brought up for that. This isn't the first time that, I guess, things have been said to him, and people have been thrown out before. Huh, Andrew?
Yeah, people have been tossed, and it's an issue the NBA is looking at. That's why NBA security is dealing with this issue right now. In talking to a few people around AD and around the Pelicans this morning, I kind of got a sense for what was said, and it was a certain four-letter word directed at AD, you know, which kind of prompted his reaction. He still has to be aware of his reaction, has to be aware of what he's doing. But you do understand when you're still a human. I don't like the argument that, oh, you're getting paid 20-something million. You got to be the bigger man. You're still a person. You're still a human being. And if somebody's going to say things like this, you got to kind of – it's hard for you to not react, especially if it's a spur-of-the-moment thing, especially when you're high-fiving other fans. I mean, this isn't a – that's what I said. It's not a New Orleans. It's not an AD versus New Orleans thing. It's an AD versus this one guy because AD didn't give him the attention right away. It sounded like it was an older gentleman. So it's tough, but – it is something the NBA is looking at in scenarios like this where they're trying to kind of clean some of this up.
One of the reasons I wanted to bring you on as well, you covered LSU for a number of years as well.
And
I brought this up in the opening segment. The Tigers, you know, recently, it kind of got stopped a bit, but they play a song. The band plays a song that's pretty, you know, pretty something there. You've seen it in basketball games. And it's not just the Tigers. I'm just bringing that up because you covered him. It is interesting, though, right, how some behavior, because I want to get into the broader topic eventually on the show of what is acceptable fan behavior or not. Should you be tossed out if you flip off an opponent? What I mean, the Falcons come to town, I promise you most of the dome is not saying positive things. So, you know, where is that line? What does it go? I have a very simple rule of thumb, Andrew. If I couldn't tell it to you in your face, I probably shouldn't say it. I think we all know what's acceptable and not. And I think that's the greater thing, that maybe that topic of discussion needs to happen everywhere.
Yeah, I can guarantee you if the person who said what he said was face-to-face with Anthony Davis, those same words don't come out.
right.
I have strong opinions on the LSU situation. I don't think they should play that song.
I agree.
But because of what the children like to say, I think there are certain lines that you just shouldn't say in a public forum. I'm all here for free speech and all that kind of stuff, but I, being in a public forum is different. I think there's some things you need to respect, and I don't like it when they do that. I don't like it when they try to hijack other songs and put those lyrics to it. So, as Ed Ogeron once said, it's a nice tune, but I don't like the words.
I'm with you. And Andrew, look, a lot of times, and soccer's having a problem with it right now, you know, in terms of how some of their players go. And I only bring this up from this standpoint that I do enjoy the soccer chanting and fandom of coming up with flags or coming up with chants and song and things of that nature. What I've always said is, Andrew, be creative. Be creative.
Yeah.
Come up with something funny. I referenced, John, I don't know if you're familiar with it, the Nashville Predators. Remember when they went to the Cup 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And I think that's sort of acceptable. Hey, you know, it's all your fault. Like when the goalie gives up the goal, they do a chant, and I'll play it for you, John, later. Andrew, you've heard it, right? Where they blame the goalie, go, it's all your fault.
Yep.
And
yep.
I love that stuff. It's creative. It's clean. Yet it's kind of a little sports jab, mm-hmm. and that there's nothing disrespectful about that. Something like that, I think, is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, if you can do stuff like that. You can do stuff like
Pacers against the Lakers. LeBron's gonna trade you.
Yeah,
you know?
He's gonna trade you. Or like high school stuff. You let the whole team down. I think LSU does
right.
Like,
exactly.
Anything like that.
I'm good with that.
Stuff like that.
Exactly.
Good.
I'm good with that. Football, hey,
guys, if you're saying things like that's the line. You gotta draw the line right.
Okay, cool. So we're all in agreement on that, but I wanted to definitely bring you on because I saw you were tweeting it. This isn't a situation where AD hates Nola and all. Look, it is what it is. He also has to understand, like you said, dude, people are shooting you. You know, if Solomon Hill does that, that video's not going anywhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
AD flips the fan off. It's now on every show. Thankfully, three games left, and then we can sort of look at the future. That future, though, does begin with the shot callers. Jeff Duncan tweeting a little bit ago, Danny Ferry, David Griffin, Larry Harris, Trajan Langdon, Garrison Rosas, and Tommy Shepard are those that will be interviewed. The interviewing began at 9 a.m. this morning. Andrew, here it is. It's time to find who the new GM is.
Yeah, and none of these names are really big surprises. I think the only one that's a huge surprise is Tommy Shepard, the interim GM in Washington right now. Just took over for Ernie Grunfeld, who just got fired. So he's kind of auditioning on his own, maybe the same way Danny Ferry is. So mm-hmm. A lot of those guys, like I said, you've heard those names. Now it's time to figure out what's exactly going to happen. The season ends for the Pelicans on April 9th. The lottery is May 14th.
Yep.
You want this done by then. Ideally, you want this done sooner so you can even have maybe your coach in place by May 14th if it is not Alvin Gentry. Dale Benson has gone on record as saying whoever is the new GM, president of basketball operations, whatever you want to call him, whoever that person is, will make the decision on Alvin Gentry as a coach. So you want this done sooner rather than later, and Washington now has an opening. Phoenix has an opening, although Phoenix has technically had an opening since 5 days before the season started. They just haven't got around to figuring it out yet. But you, with other teams starting to have openings, you want to get in front. Get all the best candidates. You have Danny Ferry. You have David Griffin, guys who have been in the league, done it, done this job before. So you're trying to get ahead of this. You're in a position where you can get the best guy and get the guy that you want and somebody that wants you right now.
Andrew, John Forkay, my question is basically you hit the nail on the head in regards to whoever the GM is that they hire, should he have the right to bring in a new head coach and or – should they keep Gentry? I know what I'm thinking right now. I'm saying clean house, bring a new general manager in here, and get a new head coach. I know people are saying, well, you know, Gentry helped save the team by the way they played. And this, look, man, he's been here long enough. This team is not going to go anywhere. I feel like it's if you're going to get a new GM, you might as well get a new head coach, because what happens if you keep Gentry, you get a new GM, and all of a sudden 20 games in the season, you're 2-18, and now you got to fire your head coach, and now you got to let the new GM, in my book, pick him a head coach. What's your take?
I think it's all about the GM's relationship with Gentry. If he feels the one thing about Gentry in the last 3 years, he hasn't necessarily had pieces at the time that he's needed to run what he has wanted to run. Everything has kind of been pushed on him. Him and Dell didn't always see eye to eye on players, on player development. So he hasn't gotten the fairest of shakes. He hasn't produced. I'll give you that. He has not produced with the win-loss record. He does have a history with David Griffin. He's obviously worked for Danny Ferry now. I think he's got to leave it up to the GM. If the GM is comfortable enough to say, look, you got 1 year, let's see what we can do, and if not, I'll get my own guy, great. If the GM says, I want my own guy, it doesn't matter, I think you got to go with that. And I think Gail Benson and the team is letting the new hire do that process. They're not going to hire anybody saying, hey, you need to keep Alvin Gentry for a year. You get to make the decision, and I think that's the way you need to go. You just let the GM make the decision based on how they feel.
800-998-1003 after Andrew will take your phone calls. Andrew Lopez of the TimesPicayune.com. Two quick final ones, man, and we'll let you go dry off since apparently you're like me. I'm still dripping wet. Dude, I think, and I made this case earlier this week, yes, it stinks that a player of that kind of talent is not going to be around. I also think, though, at the end of the day, on Tuesday, April 9th against the Warriors, I thank him. You know, and I said it sarcastically at first, but look at it like this. I think it's an awakening, right? At the very least, you have to imagine Gail Benson, Dennis Lauscha, people on the other side of the building had to have that moment, Andrew, where you sit there and go, who walks away, John, from $240 million? Like, why would you not take that when I'm willing to give it to you? What is wrong with my business that you wouldn't want $240, the highest paid contract? You don't want it. So, in your, I guess, time covering this team and being around those people, do you get the sense and feel in the last couple of weeks and months you have seen them going, okay, it's not just the GM you have to hire or management stuff, but it's really how you look at this organization, the approach, how you address it to the fans, how you present it to the fans, how you market the team. Maybe you don't share. Maybe you market the NBA differently than the NFL. Do you get that sense and feel that they get that now?
Yeah, I think it was a jolt. You know, January 28th was a jolt through the entire organization, top to bottom. And I'm going to remember January 28th, 2019, like I remember birthdays now. Like it's going to be etched in my memory of the day that AD requested a trade, because I do think it's a day that changed the New Orleans Pelicans organization. They realized at that point what we were doing doesn't work anymore. Whether it what Dell Demps was doing, what the team had been doing, whether it was the marketing side, you just had a player turn down what would have made him the highest, the richest contract in NBA history that was going to pay him, I think on the back end of it, $44, $48, $6 million a year.
Wow.
And he turned it down.
Right.
Because you can't get your stuff together. So, to me, that's telling me, you know, we got to reset. And that's why Dell was fired. That's why they've gone through this. You look at the name on this list, okay? They're not – everybody in this list is well-liked in the NBA. They've either been a GM or they're an assistant GM somewhere.
Right.
You know, Gerson is basically Maury's right-hand man in Houston in what they've built. Trajan Langdon is the hottest kid on the block. Everybody wants to interview him.
Right.
Griffin and Ferry have done it before. Tommy Shepard's been 16 years under Ernie Grunfeld. Everybody, and then Larry Harris in Golden State, he ran the Bucks for so long. So you're going after experience when you do this. You're not trying to find some young guy. You're going after experience, and I think that, to me, is the biggest key about this. And it shows you that Gail Benson's not playing around when it comes to this hire.
I agree, Andrew. I couldn't agree with you more. I think the names that you just referenced, they all have familiarity with building. Some, as you mentioned, in small markets. And, I mean, let's not forget, you know, before they drafted Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, no one was really talking about Golden State. So, yeah, you bring up some very good points. I'm excited, dude. I am. I know leading up to May 14th, I'm going to get you on. We're going to have you on, man. We're going to have a little fun as well. I'm going to have a watch party, maybe here at Vinny's, dude, for that.
Hey.
To check that out. Happy hours 3 to 7, Andrew. I'm just telling you, and I might have a little hookup for you. So we'll have some fun on that. Thanks, as always, man. Try to stay dry. Be safe. Always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
No problem, man.
Follow him over on Twitter, @_Andrew_Lopez. John, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Ken wants to chime in, and we'll get more of your thoughts there as well. The importance of maybe that hire, and if you get a sense and feel, because I follow it probably a little closer
probably
than
a little
you.
More than
so I'm interested on how that might affect you, though.
Yeah, right.
Because let's be honest, they got me. How do they get people that maybe don't follow the NBA and them a little bit more? We're live at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
At Trex, we know there's a place for wood in your backyard. We recommend the fire pit. But when it comes down to choosing the right material for your next deck, look no further than the superior beauty and durability of the number one name in outdoor living. Trex delivers the look of wood without all of the work and the worry. And it's made from 95% recycled materials, which makes it the right choice for your backyard 100% of the time. Make sure your next deck is built with Trex. Visit Trex.com to order samples.
Let's have a chat about your debit card, the card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month, automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank, member FDIC.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Please be careful outside. It is absolutely pouring in and around the area. Joey, John Forcade, has now said he's taking in two of every animal. What's the first animal you're bringing into the ark?
I'm going to bring a dog.
Dog?
Man's best friend.
Dogs are going first. Jordan, the intern, what are you bringing?
I'm putting myself on first.
Of course. Unbelievable. Ken, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. No mosquitoes. No. Mosquitoes, you know, have fun. Ken, what's going on, man? Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, man. Y'all staying high and dry?
Trying.
Man, what a day, huh?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous. I'm looking out the window here, and Ridge Lake has a little standing water, but I think we're good all the way in the back.
I'm just glad my Jeep is lifted.
That is true.
No problem.
Noah said that, too.
Yeah,
it says of the May 3rd flood, seemingly. Mm-hmm. Okay, quickly, in reference to, first of all, we need a whole new basketball regime. They need a man with basketball operation man to come in and sort everything out. Obviously, Mickey has no business or knowledge or experience to make any basketball decisions of any worth. So they need to send him back to football. And you know,
well, that's happening. It's already been said. So that is happening. So Gail Benson said that at the owners' meeting.
Now, in reference to the coach, well, whoever's in charge of basketball, let him make that decision.
Gotcha.
I guess his first test of if he has a clue as to what he's doing is for him to evaluate Gentry, and based upon how he feels, either let him go or keep him or whatever. But I don't think it would be right for just to fire him and not give the opportunity of the new man coming in to make that decision. Because we're saying that the guy coming in is a man that is highly intelligent. He knows NBA basketball. And if he is what we claim he is to be, then his first move is, what do you want to do with Gentry? Not what we want to do with Gentry. You're the new man in charge. What do you want to do with Gentry? And then we move forward from there. I'm a Griffin man. His experience in Cleveland dealing with LeBron, he won a championship. I listen to him almost on a daily basis on the NBA satellite channel.
Right.
So he has some very – I got to listen to the guy in his conversation.
Well, and, I'll say this. Look, he was one of the guys, John, that LeBron was upset about when the Cavs
when
moved away.
He
was not happy.
Well, wasn't that a situation with the owner and the GM more than
he wasn't
doing his job? Or that.
Right.
I think it was just a conflict between the owner and Griffin.
Look, and here's the thing, too. That's a difficult situation because you're trying to please the guy of guys.
Right.
And a lot of times those requests were, even though we're in first place, fire the coach. Even though we're in first place, give me a new starting lineup. So that's kind of a little different. But to the point that Andrew brought up, Ken, it's experience. It's experience of having been in.
Because
that's one of the questions that we're tweeting out there, a question of the day that Jordan's throwing out there, and I'm going to ask you for your answer, okay? What is the most important question of these candidates that can be asked of them? What is the most important question in the interview?
I would say the ability to not come in with a philosophy and force the philosophy on the players, but to make a careful evaluation of the players that we have and in turn come up with a philosophy that will, allow those athletes to blossom. In other words, like, you know, a lot of coaches have their own idea as to how things should be done as opposed to the talent on their roster. But just look at the roster itself and the putting together of the team and seeing what is best to have their talents blossom. That would be the main thing. Because some guys got to play back to the basket, but if you don't have back to the basket type guys, then obviously we can't play back to the basket. We like to shooting the threes. If you don't have a bunch of 3-point shooters that can actually shoot, then why are you trying to shoot a ton of threes? See what I'm saying? So that's meshing with the talent. But one thing I like to say about Griffin before I hang up, and he brought this out when they talked about why the Anthony trade couldn't be done. He said that when you want to move one player for a whole bunch of players, he said that takes a lot of time to do because you get an influx of players, plus you already got players. That means you got to get rid of players. So you're doing it on a rush, which means that you don't have the ample time to make an intelligent decision as
to
getting the best for each one of those players that you're getting rid of. See what I'm saying?
That's a great point. I think a lot of people see that. If I'm bringing in five guys, I got to get rid of five guys because I only have.
You got to get rid of five guys. And he said that type of trade it takes those two teams and possibly a third or fourth team to come together over a period of time to work all of that out. It's not the kind of thing you can do in a week. You know,
well,
my
take is this: if you're going to do the trading part of it, like you said, wait till the season's over. Now, what do you get? You get time.
Thank you.
On your plate to sit there and say, okay, instead of doing it before the deadline's in a week, now you have you know, you got till July, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
You know, basically, exactly. Anthony Davis, well, basically, you don't really have the July. You can go all the way next season because Anthony Davis is under contract with the Pelicans. You know, you don't want to lose without getting anything. So you got time to trade him. And why not do it in the offseason when now you could sit down with your new general manager who you said yes. is the guy that – right. Now, Gail Benson is going to let the GM – Mickey Lomas is going to stay out of it. Let your GM do this, do the process. But here's what my take is when you talk about this team for next season. What is your scouting department is all about? Remember, a lot of these teams, they get rid of, in football especially, they get rid of scouting guys all the time because they don't bring the right players to the table. You better have an outstanding scouting department. With Demps was here, Demps was the guy doing all the scouting of these players and making decisions on these players. You better have a pretty good core of scouting guys to tell your head coach and your GM, these are the players we need to really look at and go after. We got to, granted, we have a core of guys here now. You're going to lose some players. It's part of the business. You go out and you find some new players. But let the GM, his scouting department, and whoever the head coach is, head coach, you're going to coach these players we get to. Yeah, you're going to look at some of these players. But whatever 12 guys we bring to the table for training camp, you make sure you get these 12 guys. Because with Demp, man, remember, he was trading away guys and getting nothing. And,
right. Well, that was his philosophy, to go with the younger veterans rather than going through the draft. So that's
you're right, John. And on top of that, not only will we have our own first round draft choice, but we're going to have some other first round draft choices when we finally move on Davis. So we definitely need to be in a strong scouting situation where we can make real good evaluation of the players. Because we're turning the corner, and there's going to be some young guys, but there need to be young guys that can actually play and have a future. So I'm looking forward to it. It's like having a brand new baby coming into the household. Mm-hmm. You know, so we shall see what we shall see.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of excitement, Ken. At the same time, it's going to be some sleepless nights. I mean, it is what it is. I think it's better for the long term, though. Thanks, Ken.
And one quick thing for him, it all starts with us losing the next few games because we need to make our draft situation a little bit better than what it is right now.
Well, if they're going to lose the next few games, they need to let me know before I hit to the Gulf Coast and make my bets on the games this weekend. If they are going to lose, I need to know.
Let me tell you what, Devin Booker's Friday night with the Suns. My eye's on Booker. Booker's pretty good right now with the Suns.
But look, the whole take on this thing is you guys have nailed it. Look what Milwaukee has done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, they've lost the last few seasons. All of a sudden, bingo, they're – and that's what we have to do here at Pelican. Don't expect us to be the fourth seed next year.
Yeah.
Look, if we're being competitive, we're at the 40-40 mark or 38-40, whatever two mark, we're in the position to get it in about 2 years, 3 years.
Thank you, Ken. Appreciate the phone call, man. Stay dry,
all right,
bud.
Gentlemen. Take care.
Yep. Stay dry, yes.
Quick break. When we come back, we'll have more on this as well. And Jordan, the intern, I gave him a little homework assignment. Who exactly is Danny Ferry, David Griffin, Larry Harris, Trajan Langdon, Garrison Rosas, and Tommy Shepard? Quick little tidbit on each. We'll do that as well. Don't forget, Hour 1 is brought to you by The King Firm, kinginjuryfirm.com. That's the website. When you go there, John Forkade, you'll see a picture of all of the attorneys that's part of the firm. You'll see the About section. That gives you a little info on each. The Video section. It's little videos of instances and cases they've worked that can help you. Blogs. Click on that. It's the attorneys themselves writing little things about cases that they've worked on and maybe how they can help you. Look, personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass tort, workers' comp, they do it all. Give them a call, free consultation call. It's the kinginjuryfirm.com online to go check it out in 909-KING. We come back. More Sports Hangover live from Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie on ESPN New Orleans.
Now she's gone. Convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years, even with zero IT experience. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
We parents hear our kids say lots of things that can get us pretty worked up. Things like,
look, Ma, no hands.
And,
ouch, that hurts.
Look, you'll never completely stop worrying about your kids. But you can breathe a little easier with free or low-cost health insurance through Medicaid and CHIP programs in your state. The truth is, they're covering more kids and teens than ever before. So even if you've applied in the past, even if you don't qualify, your kids can now be eligible for regular doctor and dentist visits, prescriptions, and more. So the next time you hear,
ooh, I don't feel so good,
relax. Your kids can be covered.
Get us kids covered today. Families of four earning up to $49,200 a year or more may qualify. Just go to insurekidsnow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. That's 1-877-543-7669. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
New Orleans Pelicans basketball. Do it big.
And Williams taps the inbounds pass. Steals it to Payton. 5 seconds left. To the paint. Randall catch and dunk.
Shoot for three.
Good, good, good.
Drew Holiday. Hi, this is Sean Kelly. Join John DeShazer and me as the Pelicans take on the Phoenix Suns Friday at 9 on ESPN Radio, New Orleans.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Shame on me, and I apologize to Andrew Lopez. Jordan, the intern, did you read his story on Jahlil Okafor?
I saw the headline, and I was planning on reading it later today.
I know you're a big fan of Jahlil. It's a very good piece. It's about him kind of really just coming back to being happy and playing basketball again, saying he was in a dark place last season. It wasn't until last summer that he got the help he needed, dealing with anxiety, depression, and such. And it's a good piece, good workup to see. And he's come in. Look, he's had a nice go once he got a chance to get on the court and play. What are you patting yourself on the back for?
I told you. Yeah, well, I told you, Gus.
Anyway, go and check it out. It's a nice piece. At underscore Andrew underscore Lopez if you want to go get the link. If not, NOLA.com. Click on Pels. You can see it. John 4K, let's find out who these guys are. Danny Ferry, David Griffin, Larry Harris, Trajan Langdon, Garrison Rosas, and Tommy Shepard. They're all interviewing. The interviews started today at 9 a.m. Jordan, give us a quick little tidbit on each for everyone listening.
All right, so we're going to start off with Danny Ferry, and we're going to start off with his management when he first started. So he worked with the Spurs in 2003 until 2005 in the front office, then was the GM for the Cavs through 2005 to 2010. He returned to the Spurs in 2010 as the vice president of basketball operations, and then in 2012 went to the Hawks for president of basketball operations. Mm-hmm. And now he's with the he's the interim GM for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Lots of experience there, John. A lot of organizations. Time with the Spurs there as well.
He's a basketball guy. We know he played professionally, played college. Got a lot of experience in different teams, different spots. I think his best spot was when he was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, he left under bad circumstances of, you know, something he said. He's one guy I definitely would consider the fact because he's been here with this organization. He knows the organization. He sees how The Saints run things. Gail Benson run things.
John, what have we seen with that organization and those people too? They're loyal, and if you can get along with them and you can, and they can trust you, you have a shot. I think Danny Ferry has a shot.
I do too. I think if, in all honesty, my take is I think he's got the upper hand because he's been here.
Along those lines, before we move on with the other candidates, you brought up clean house, just a fresh approach, just kind of, you know, like when you get a new house and you're trying to flip it, you basically go to the studs, right? You remodel it, you do it all, just you want to start over. Is that something he fights, or because he really wasn't very visible and wasn't the one making the decisions, even though he was part, quote-unquote, of the organization under Del Demps? Do you think that's okay, or do you think some fans are going to be like, look, if you've been in the organization pre-now, I want something new? You get
no,
what I'm getting at?
My take is this. If you've been, look, anything from the GM on down, you want to keep those guys, got no problems with it. It's when you fire people, you fire your general manager and your head coach. When I say clean house, that's the guys you fire. There's other guys, you know, your assistant guy, whatever, who's been around. Maybe you want to keep him around. Right. But a lot of times a new GM might come in and say, hey, I want this guy as my assistant. That's fine and dandy.
Scout.
Fine. But the main thing is this. When you bring in a new guy, he better have his core. I don't care about who's below you. You better have the scouting department up to par to your likings as the GM.
We spoke with Nancy Lieberman. Maybe Jordan will have her on tomorrow. We spoke to her when all this first came out. And I asked her flat out, I'm like, okay, if you were interviewing for a position, what you would do? And she said four things immediately right off the top. She's like, the first thing, you better have your list of coaches already. I have a list of five coaches right now that I would call. She said, I know who my strength guy is going to be. I know my scouting department. Like, that's because I'm asking the question, what are the questions that you want answered or asked to these candidates? She was ready. She knew who she was hiring, what she was doing, what's the philosophy, here's the direction, how long it's going to take, what are we going to do, when here, when there, when that. I mean, and that's what I guess I want to hear if I'm interviewing. What I do like about all of these names is that there's experience and there's NBA tentacles, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they've been in the NBA for a while.
Right.
And when you interview that many candidates, and again, remember, they used a search firm. This wasn't, hey, let me go through, you know, my email mm-hmm. and take out. I like going through the search firm because they're already sort of done the prerequisites
already. Right, they've
already
done the work for you.
Exactly. So my point is, I think it'll stand out. I think the person that wins will stand out. It's going to come across, right?
Well, you would hope it would because a lot of people, you, me, I don't know, guys
I think
who
that's
are,
how you have to approach it.
Here's my take is, a lot of people say, well, man, you can't go get this. I mean, get somebody with a name, recognition, somebody that might know some stuff. It's hard to say that because there's some guys who you don't know that probably can do a good enough job. Now, the only thing that I take out of that with Lieberman was this, that when they said, how long would it take? That question, I put a question mark behind because you don't know how long something will take. You can say, oh, 3 years. There's no guarantee 3 years. Or four. Right. You just play it year by year when it comes
but
to
it
that
It happens
question.
Every day in business,
doesn't
it?
It does.
Right? I mean, when you interview for a manager position in sales or something like that, they want projections. People want to know how much my money is going to be in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. What do you project out there? It's kind of the similar situation. We're live at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive. When we come back, Jordan will give us more details on the other guys. Again, Jeff Duncan, TomSpeakUnilever.com, tweeted 9 a.m. this morning. The interview process begun. John, we still got to get to a little NFL, a little Saints.
Getting well, you got two
into
more
that
hours.
As well. We got plenty to get into.
A lot of time.
Rain's starting to taper off. Give you time to come in and get your wings. Yeah. Joey's laughing. He's now on to what was the next set of animals?
Snakes.
Snakes.
No, they ain't come with me.
No, poisonous snakes.
Really?
I don't get that.
Snakes aren't that bad. They can get rid of
good
rodents.
Snakes.
They can, good snakes are not bad to have.
Which means they're dead.
Joey, I'm giving you a high five right now, man. A dead snake is the best snake.
Hour one was brought to you by the King Firm to play a game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. And don't forget, TGMC, the Golf Classic. Next Tuesday, we'll be there broadcasting live. And on Friday, it's the Glow Golf Party, TGMC.com. Go to the website, get all the info on the events. We'll talk more about that coming up on the show. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. I've got too much.